One of the halachas we saw tonight, one of the important halachas in Chovel is hechniso b'cheder. If the mazik, the perpetrator, he sticks the other guy into a room, sagar hadelas alav, he slams and locks him inside, batlam malachto, he causes him to not be able to work, he spent a day locked in there not working, so he's chayev. That's an example the Gemara gives where of the five types of compensation that we know, none of the other four don't apply. There's no pain. It's very comfortable in there. It's a nice couch and can read a book all day. There's no humiliation. He just pushed him in, locked the door. There's no permanent damage. There's the one thing there is, there's no repoy. He's not hurt. The one thing there is Shabbos. He can't work. We should just note that in American law, you know, there's a notion of false imprisonment. You can get in trouble for locking somebody up independent of any lost work. And in halacha, obviously you shouldn't do that to somebody even if he's not working, even if it's on his downtime. But in halacha, we're measuring here solely economic damage, solely if you hurt his bottom line, his revenue. So what you pay here at least is in terms of his lost wages. Then the Shulchan Aruch adds one condition. This is only if you actually first pushed him in and then locked the door. But if he was already there, he's already in the room. All you did was close the door, lock the door, but you didn't actually touch the person. The person was just sitting there all along. You just locked him in. So even though the practical consequence of what you did is exactly the same, he still missed the same day of work, and it's just as, the damage to his revenue is just as much. You are not chayev. This is called grama, indirect hezek, and your pater b'dinei adam. So these are some very important terms throughout Chashon Mishpat. These are basic building blocks that we're going to encounter throughout Chashon Mishpat. First of all, the idea of grama. Grama b'nizakin pater is a principle throughout Chashon Mishpat that adam amazik and other types of mazik can only be chayev if it's called direct hezek. Be a dayim, other definitions, indirect hezek, grama is pater. Even though the damage is severe, can be severe, but that's the halacha. We can philosophize about why sometime maybe, but the Gemara just gives you the rule, grama b'nizakin is pater. Also though, the Shulchan Aruch adds the words, pater midine adam, from the judgment of man. That's also a very important halachic Chashon Mishpat category. Dine Adam means something enforceable in Beis Din, something Beis Din can paskin and obligate you to do. The implication is that that you are chayav b'dinei shamayim in justice of heaven. That means that a person has a moral obligation. There are different ways to define it, but a person has a strong moral obligation to do it. It might even be called a rasha if you don't pay for it, but all it means is that Beis Din can't do anything that in terms of what we can do in Chashon Mishpat in court, Beis Din can't operate, but you still have a moral obligation. You clearly did wrong, you have to do tshuva, and you even should pay him to avoid it, to remain in good standing with Shemayim. This basic rule, this idea, putting aside the second caveat that you're only chayav b'dinei Shemayim if you didn't push him in, this basic idea that Shevis occurs if you lock somebody up in a room and he can't work, this has some interesting ramifications elsewhere in Chashon Mishpat. The counterpoint to this first, though, the tension between the two opposing rules is a famous Yerushalmi that the post can bring all over the place. Yerushalmi says, Mevatel kiso shel chavero is pater. Literally, that means kiss is a purse. Mevatel kiso means I block you from accessing your purse, meaning you have assets, cash, resources, funds, whatever they are. I prevent you from using it, meaning again, we're talking about financial damage. I prevent you from making money. I lock up, I block you from accessing some of your assets. If there's an opportunity cost, you lost potential profit or revenue. Halacha is pater. This is a fundamental rule the post can bring all over the place, that actual loss is what you're chayav for, if it's direct and not grama, but simply loss of profit, loss of the ability to make money, that's not something that you're chayav, at least b'dinei adam. There is a question whether you're chayav b'dinei shamayim again, but at least b'dinei adam, if I stop you from using your assets and I stop you therefore from gaining revenue, that's not something that I'm chayav. Yet Shevis, that's exactly what Shevis is. I stopped you from earning money and I am chayev. So what's the difference between Shevis, that you're chayev for stopping somebody from making a day's wages, and Mevatel Kiso, if I stop him from using his cow and making a day's worth of production from his cow, you're pater? So the difference, there are different theories as to what the difference is. By far, the most mainstream, the most dominant understanding of the difference is One is personal damage and one is property damage. As we discussed right when we began the study of these halachas, we said that a person who damages another person is chayav b'chamisha dvarim, he's chayav five types of compensation, tzar, nezek, shevas, boshes, ripui, whereas a person who damages property is only chayav nezek. He's not chayav the other five, he's not chayav ripui, he's not chayav shevas. And that is the dominant understanding of the difference. If I commit an assault, or even just locking you in, which is not strictly assault, if I do something to you, to your person, and that causes you a loss of money, that is considered chayav b'chamisha dvarim, and one of them is shevas. That's why locking a person in a room is chayav for the lost wages. If I lock your cow in a room or do something like that, that's since I didn't commit a crime against your person, only against your property, I'm not chayav b'chamisha dvarim, and therefore I'm not chayav shevas, and we therefore call that mevatel kiso shel chaveiro. One of the many applications of this is a ruling of the Rush. The Rush is talking about a case where I invade your property, your house, your shop, whatever it is. I push you out and I live there myself. I use the shop myself. I'm stronger than you. And by the time you can get the court to evict me, by the time I leave on my own accord, I was there for a week, a month, a year. So I took the shop and you were out of there. So if I actually use the shop, then in certain cases, I'm chayav. If I didn't use it myself, I simply pushed you out and locked the door and made sure you couldn't come in, the Rush says you are pater. Again, he applies the rule of mevatel kiso shel chaveiro, preventing you from using your assets, even if that means a significant loss of revenue, is only a form of grama, and you're not chayav. And again, the difference is, as understood by most poskim, is that there's a difference between a tort committed against a person or a tort committed against property. That's the background. Now, one area of halacha where this comes up, this takes us a little bit away from Adon Mazik. What's the halacha if you hire a worker, you tell him, come tomorrow at 9 o'clock and paint my fence? He comes tomorrow and you say, sorry, changed my mind, I don't want the fence painted, I'm not hiring you, have a nice day. And he can't work the whole day, but he committed himself, he gave up other job offers, and now that's it. And so now he lost a day's salary. Are you chayev to make up to him the money you promised him? He didn't do the work, but that's your fault because you backed out on him. The answer is yes, you're chayev. And basically there are two main theories, two main reasons why you're chayev. One of them is, at least in the case where he actually came down to the job site, or certainly if he actually began to do the job and then you backed out, once he starts the job, then you have a contractual obligation to pay him the full salary you promised him. That's not our issue here. The second obligation, This was the idea of the Balei Tosfos and the Rush, and this is accepted by many or most poskim, is that you're a mazik. By promising him a job and therefore causing him to give up other opportunities and come and commit himself to you, and now you don't give him the job, you are a mazik. You cause damage to him by not having other jobs that he could have had otherwise. Similar idea applies in the case of a landlord and a tenant. If the tenant tells you, I'll take the property, and therefore the landlord sends away, stops listening to other prospective tenants. Then when a day before he's supposed to move in, he says, sorry, I changed my mind, I'm taking a different apartment. Again, there's a question of hezek. You caused the landlord a hezek, his property he can no longer use. That's also a shayla in the poskim, whether you're chayev for doing that. And again, then one model at least is mazik, you caused him a hezek. Now, sticking to the case of Poelim for a minute, the workers, you promised the workers a job, then you backed out, now they don't have a job, now they don't get any work. So some poskim understand that this is really a form of shevas. Just like if I actually take the worker, stick him in a room, lock the door, I'm chayev, that's shevas, that's our sif. So too, if I didn't physically do anything to him, but I verbally, I tricked him, I misled him, I caused him to rely on me and commit himself to my job and turn away other offers, and now I don't give him a job, that's a form of shevas. This idea was said by a number of major achronim, Machane Ephraim, Biktos, Shar Mishpat. They all propose that the principle here is shevas. Now, according to what we just discussed, that should not necessarily apply in the case of the real estate, the landlord or the tenant. We just said shevas does not apply to property. So that's true. And for property, there is actually a big machlokas, what the theory is to mechayev the tenant who messes up the landlord, and shevas is obviously not going to work over there because, as we said, the dominant approach is shevas is limited to hezek to a person. A person can't work. It would not apply to real estate. So that's a problem. But sticking at least to the case of the worker, If you cause the worker to, if you cause the worker not to have a job, then many achronim learn that the issue is Shevis. Now, there are a number of problems or complications with trying to apply a Shevis model to a fellow who causes workers to lose a job by relying on him. One issue raised by many achronim is, we mentioned the Rush. The Rush says that the second half of the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shevis of locking somebody in a room is only if you physically pushed him into the room and locked the door. If he's already in the room and you just locked the door, that's only a grama and you're not chayav. So a number of achronim debate, how do we look at a case where you promised a worker a job and therefore he turned away other jobs? Is that like you pushed him into the room and locked the door, or is that like he was already in the room and you locked the door? Posts can go back and forth. Some posts can say, since you did directly deal with the person, not just the door, that's like you directly caused him, directly pushed him into the room, so it is a good analogy to Shevis. Other posts can say it's not really so direct. That's one issue. It's not really clear that the loss of the job is really comparable to pushing him into the room. Maybe it's only like locking the door. That's one problem with trying to apply the model of Shevis to costing a worker a job. Another problem discussed by the Ketos and the Machane Ephraim is when the Gemara talks about cases of workers who lose jobs, it gives examples of things like wagon drivers. You hired a wagon driver who comes to you with a donkey and a cart, and you hired him to carry away your grain, so you're chayev. If the model is Shevis, the Achronim point out, that really should only work with regard to the salary of the person himself. Again, applying the same principle, Shevis is only an applicable category with respect to hezek to a person, not to property. So insofar as we're dealing with the loss of the hire of the cart, or in modern example, a taxi or something, that would not be Shevis. So the Machane Ephraim tries to argue, and this is, I think, very reasonable, that when you hire a taxi driver, it depends, I guess, on the nature of the what kind of contract you have, but at least in some cases, you don't have a separate contract. It's not like parts and labor. I pay part of the money for the taxi and part for the driver. Typically, when you hire a taxi, there's one fee, and everything is rolled in. The guy's labor, the guy's medallion, the guy's taxi. It's all the same thing. There are going to be some industries, like when you charter a bus, sometimes I think they do break down the rental fee for the bus plus wages for the driver. So it might depend on how you set it up, but the Machane Ephraim tries to argue that in a general, simple case where you hire a wagon driver and there's one fee for both the driver and the cart and the wagon, we can look at the whole thing as Shevis. Even though when he calculates his fee, he takes into account that he has to supply the wagon to. But nevertheless, since the primary arrangement is I'm hiring you, we look at that as personal revenue, we look at that therefore as hezek to the person, and that's Shevis. The Ketos is not convinced. The Ketos says you have to break it down and then separate the salary into the part that goes for the driver and the part that goes for the wagon. Part that goes for the driver is there would be Shevis for. The part that goes for the wagon, there would be no Shevis. There are also other objections to applying the category of Shevis to these cases where you cost a worker a job. Let's see if it's a mishpat. Completely reject the application of Shevis to such a case. He says, when I take a worker and I lock him up from 9 to 5, so he was in the room for 8 hours, he lost 8 hours worth of wages, fine, I locked him up for 8 hours, he had 8 hours of lost wages, I'm liable for those 8 hours, he says. If I lock a guy up for 10 minutes in the morning, and because those were the 10 minutes where he had to find another job, and now it's too late, I can't be liable, he says, for more than 10 minutes. Even though it's true that because he missed that window of opportunity, he may have lost a whole year's worth of wages. If it's a Rebbe, you know, if it's something that has a yearly contract, if you don't hire within a two-week period, then he's out for the year. He might have lost a whole year's worth of wages, but the Nesivos fails in Svara. You can't, if we're dealing with the technical legal category of Shevis, it doesn't make sense, he says, to Mechayev for more than the actual time he was locked up. He's locked up for 2 weeks, he was locked up for 10 minutes, he can Mechayev at most for 10 minutes. The fact that he lost future wages, that doesn't make sense. So there's no reason to, it doesn't make sense to consider that Shevis. Therefore, he says, we have to use other models to explain why costing the worker a job is chayev. So we'll just mention, again, this is already departing from Hezek, I'll just mention the one most important model the post can use other than Mazik for costing a worker a job. This takes us already, again, away from Shevis, is the idea of reliance damages. I think sometimes it's called promissory estoppel. There's an idea, in halacha we call it arvus, there's an idea that if I make a commitment to you and you rely on me and therefore you have certain damages, I can be chayav for those damages because by you agreeing to rely on me, I therefore become chaya for any harm that befalls you. The classic model is literal arvus. Arvus means co-signing. When I co-sign a loan, what happens? The guarantor tells the malva, tells the lender, you lend the money. In other words, you put your capital at risk. I'll indemnify you. I'll make sure that you stay whole. I'll make sure that you don't suffer a loss. Since he then goes and lends the money based on my say-so, he relies on me, he's somech on me, I then become chaya for any loss he has, and any loss that I guarantee to him. Some rishonim therefore hold, even if I don't explicitly say, if you get messed up, I'll pay for you, the mere fact that I say, do this for me, commit yourself to me, there's always an implicit promise that if you don't, I would, and if you suffer any harm by committing yourself and relying on me, I will therefore be chayav for any loss that you have. That's one. That's a different model for the case of Poelim. The Poelim rely on me to give them that job. By doing so, they give up something. They don't give up cash, but they give up opportunity. They give up other job offers. Since they rely on me, an implicit obligation kicks in that I am therefore chayav to them to make sure that they don't lose for relying on me. Just like the guarantor has an obligation to the lender that he shouldn't lose by relying on him and lending the money, so too the employer has an implicit guarantee to the workers, rely on me and commit yourself to my job and I'll make sure you don't lose by that. And therefore, if he backs out, he's chayav. And that would actually explain the case of the real estate too. This is the position of the Erech Shai, among others. He says, if the tenant tells the landlord, give the property to me, and the landlord therefore turns away other tenants, the landlord is relying on the tenant. He's relying on the tenant's commitment to take the property. If the tenant, therefore, is not willing to go through, he has to make sure that the landlord doesn't lose by having relied on him. And if the landlord can show that he had other opportunities, it was a popular market, it was a hot market, plenty of tenants going around, he can prove that he had other opportunities and now it's too late, now they've dried up, then according to at least some poskim, based on this principle of arvus, of reliance damages, the tenant will have an obligation to the landlord to make sure that he doesn't lose by having relied on his commitment.